Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is February 14th, so happy Valentine's Day to all of you guys and gals. I would say at this point, I love you, man. Thanks. I love you. Hearts out to you. But so happy Valentine's Day. All the love from MotoVitality to you. Going to start the call off. I know that there's a couple people on that that are not normally here, so I appreciate all of you that are on here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which I know quite a few of you do. So hello to you. Love it when you're on live, though. We have it's nicer when we can have a discussion and have you guys on. Although I would ask you if you and we run across this sometimes. So if you've got some background noise or to eliminate the background noise, if you could please mute your phone. Excuse me. Sorry. So if you could mute your phone until you want to say, you know, and say something, I'd love to have you participate in the call. So so I can try and give you a little bit of time, but it sounds like we're getting a little bit of background noise there. You can listen to the recording of the call if you haven't done so already by going to iTunes and subscribing to MotoVitality or on Google Podcast or any of those, any podcast service that you use. Or, of course, at MotoVitality.com, you can get to those as well. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions that that we can help with? Anybody have anything? Well, if not, then I'm going to jump right into our topic. I know this is the topic that encouraged some of you guys to hop on this morning. So that gives us some time to chat about it and explore it a little bit and maybe brainstorm some ideas if we have time to make yours better. So so I will say that, you know, when I was in sales as a straight commission guy, I loved – January was always one of my slowest months. For some companies, there's in fact one company we're working with right now that says that January and February are always really big for them, and they need that after the slow months of November and December. So I think it really depends on who you are and the way you look at it. For me, I always had excellent November and Decembers, but my January and February sometimes tended to be slower, you know, and people are hunkered down inside in the wintertime and they're just recovering from the holidays. And so when the home shows came, I counted on that. Because I always managed to set a ton of appointments. It just seemed pretty easy to me, you know, to go in there and get appointments. And I mean, here was this amazing opportunity for people to, you know, for me to stay in one place and people to come to me and ask me about water questions. I was like, for a guy that, you know, the most house leads I ever got in any one year was 23 house leads the entire year. So the concept of somebody coming to me and asking for information, that was amazing to me. So I don't know. It just seemed pretty easy. It wasn't until I became sales manager and started training a team and then later with MotoVitality doing this that I realized that that's kind of unusual. There are a lot of dealers, in fact, that stop doing home shows entirely. They have a hard time getting their salespeople to work the booth. They have sometimes they outsource and they'll just have somebody to stand in the booth to take leads. And I see that when I walk through the show too. I just see people sitting down in the chairs and just twiddling their thumbs. And what I realized is that what I always thought was a huge boost to my income for January and February was in fact an annoyance for other salespeople and kind of a necessary evil for some dealers. And I didn't really understand what the disconnect was. People say, well, it's different in our area. It's different here. I've not found that to be the case. When Jen and I have gone in all over the country and we've worked with dealers and helped them put together their shows and kind of teach their salespeople, if the salespeople are willing to do what we teach them, then they have a lot of success. And so I've done a ton of webinars on, you can find those on MotoVitality.com. You can go back and look through the archives. We do a home show podcast just about every year. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time going over the same things that we've done on some of those other podcasts on this one. What I wanted to do instead on this call was to talk, instead of you guys listening to me give the same tips that I give all the time, I wanted to let you guys chat a little bit and maybe or hear a chat with Corey and Joan, who are two sales professionals that Jen and I had the honor of serving and bringing into the industry for one of our clients from Iowa. And because we set up a show with them, we were in Iowa last week conducting an interview and bringing a new member to the team. But we stuck around a little bit and worked a little bit of the home show with them, and we helped them set it up. And it was obvious even within the first hour of Friday, which was pretty dead. You know, there were hardly anybody coming through. It did get busy for an hour or so, but even that Friday night, it was obvious that they were going to have an amazing show. And so this call is an opportunity for those of you that are on to ask questions about what you should do or what works or what doesn't work, and we'll kind of talk about that. But I also thought it would be a good opportunity for you guys to converse with Corey and Joan. So Corey and Joan, I know you guys are on every week, and you both have participated and said things in the call. I want to start right off by saying how exceptionally proud of both of you I am. You guys are you really do an amazing job. You've embraced the education, knowledge, and the industry and made it your own, and that's pretty incredible. But how would you say the show went, both of you, how would you say the show went this weekend?
I would say
Corey, you first.
Yeah, I think it went great. Even, you guys stuck around for Friday. Saturday and Sunday, I think we're even better. Obviously more foot traffic. We had a ton of people just stop at the booth and talk to us, as well as, we were doing the tea demonstration, that sort of stuff. And we got
I want to talk about that tea demonstration here in a minute, because that's something that that I think a lot of people – they have a hard time picturing how that works. So we're going to talk about what you did there. In fact, you had a couple competitors that came over and were kind of blown away by what you were doing in that area. So we'll talk about the T-Demo in a second. One of the things I kind of wanted to highlight, and Joan, maybe you could speak to this. You guys, when I will talk to salespeople sometimes after a show, they'll go, "Oh, it was great. I must have handed out 200 business cards. We're going to get so much business from that." What was your ratio of just strictly handing out business cards to actual appointments set? And I know that it was the home show was out of your area, so I'm not necessarily talking, for setting the appointment for yourself. You guys were there together and setting appointments for each other if it came necessary. But how did that go? What was the difference between just handing out business cards and actually setting appointments?
Well, yeah, it wasn't my area, so I didn't hand out hardly any business cards, maybe, 20 or 30, very minimal. And the ones I did give out, a lot of them weren't even for my area. It was just I was willing to give them more information about different things that are out there and different things they should be checking for. It was more about setting appointments. That was the goal. Like you've always said, if you give out your business card, it's going to hit the bag. And if it hits the bag, it's going to hit the trash. So it was more about setting an appointment. We had an appointment book right there. We just asked, when are you going to be available? And I was really blown away that none of our competitors were doing that. All of them were saying, we'll give you a call. Give me your number. Yeah. We'll call you. And that blew me away because the people were right there. They had their spouse with them.
Yeah,
that's the appointment.
Actually, that's true. That's true. A lot of times they did have their spouse. They were able to check on it. Now, did you guys call it an appointment? Did you say, well, why don't we set an appointment to come out and sell you something? How did you word it when you were talking to them?
Say, do you have any opening? Or do you have any time next week that I can swing by and just check your unit and see what's going on?
So that worked, huh? Just scheduling a time to swing by and check it for them.
Oh, yeah.
What did you find, Corey? What did you say to get there? So did you actually set those appointments, or did you schedule a time to swing by as well?
Just a time to swing by. Most of the people, they would come up and they'd say, yeah, I have an old softener. It's about 15 years old. I don't know if it's working. And I would say, you know, if you want, I can just swing by if there's a time that works for you next week, and I can check it out. At the very least, just give you some more information on it. And
see,
people
that was
love
one
that.
Of the
and
things.
Go ahead. And I've been running those, you know, I've been going to these people's houses this week. And even if it doesn't immediately lead to a sale or anything, their unit's 15 years old. It's going to go out eventually. I know they're going to call me when that time comes because I took the time to go out there. I didn't try to sell them something when I was out there. I helped them.
See, that's a concept that I think is hard to teach salespeople versus sales professionals, right? Because what you guys were doing is you were looking at every opportunity to get in that home, even just to do a checkup. And I think sometimes salespeople, especially at home shows, they don't want to set an appointment unless it's a guaranteed sale, unless they know they're going to go out there and do that sale. You guys were actually looking to get in the home and adopt these customers, these orphans. And I mean, there's certainly sales opportunity. If they have a 15-year-old system, then yeah, there's going to be opportunity, and they definitely will call you. But you're out there building relationships and a reputation in the field, not just focused on whether it's going to be an immediate gratification. So I think that's good. So how did you get people to, you know, so a lot of people just stopped by. I mean, you guys had a 20-foot booth, and you couldn't miss the carpet. They had this bright green carpet. And, you know, I mean, it was this bright green shag carpet that looked like it came directly out of your great-grandma's living room. I mean, it was so bright green. And at first, we were all kind of making fun of this carpet a little bit. But in hindsight, and with the success of the show, I wonder if that didn't help the booth stand out. You know, and I don't know that anybody judged you guys on the carpet. In fact, I think it probably helped you get noticed. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I saw that on social media, you know, that you guys were posting it on Facebook and Instagram. Look for the bright green carpet. You know, that was because it was different. It definitely was different. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But what were you guys – so when people walked by – let's talk a little bit about what you were doing to get people in the booth. Describe your booth and how it was set up. So you guys must have had, because you set so many appointments there, you must have had probably 10 or 20 softeners of varying sizes in there, right?
No.
We had 30 softeners. We had one softener.
So how many total pieces of primary equipment did you have? So how many softeners?
One.
One softener and one reverse osmosis system.
Yep, one RO.
Yeah, one RO. Okay. And so, and then you had a TV with a commercial showing kind of in the center. Now, you did have a sink set up to show how an RO would fit underneath the sink. You had a little sink that you guys had put together. The TV was mounted on the back of the sink. And then you had a couple coolers on each side of the booth. But then up at the front and center, what did you have also in the center of the booth? And let's talk about the tea, and I want to talk about how you guys set that up and what you said when people came by. Because, you know, it happens. You'll say things, you know, can I answer a question for you? And people will go, no, I'm good. And I want to take it from there. So let's talk about the tea setup. What did you have? Describe the tea setup that you guys were making tea there in the booth. So describe the setup there.
Well, we had two coffee pots, and we had a 5-gallon jug of the city's water, and then we had our coolers that had our water in it, our branded water. And we just, we'd ask people, you know, how they were doing, and then we'd say, hey, would you like us to make you a cup of tea?
So and this, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, a lot of people said no, but it sparked their curiosity. But quite a few people said yes, too. And then when you started showing people the difference between municipal water and reverse osmosis water, that kind of tended to draw more people in.
Yeah,
because
it draws
people
a crowd,
never,
doesn't it?
They haven't,
yeah.
Yes, they haven't seen that before. So it was pretty interesting.
And I think a key to this is when if they say, yeah, I'll take a cup of tea, and you bring them into the booth, and you say, actually, I'm going to make you two cups of tea. One's going to be with the reverse osmosis water, the other's going to be with the tap water. And that usually sparks the conversation right there.
Yeah, you guys did this so well. So let me tell everybody, I came up with this idea way back when I became responsible for setting up shows and kind of putting together the shows. You think about Sam's Club or Costco and these places you go, and they've got, you know, there's always, no matter what time of day you go to Costco, there are lines of people waiting to get the free samples. People like free samples. And so, I mean, one of the most, there's a couple things to understand when you're doing this, to understand why this works, okay? First off, it's a way to get people involved, but let's go even further back than that, all right? The tea demonstration is one of the most powerful demonstrations you will ever see in a house. We can talk to people all day long about total dissolved solids and about what the digital numbers mean and all of that stuff. But those numbers, even in the home, they don't mean squat. They're especially not going to mean anything when you're standing there at a home show booth competing with everybody else, not only the other water treatment companies, but the other types of companies in that booth, okay? So we set up two coffee pots, just little $10 coffee pots from Walmart or whatever. They don't have to be anything fancy. You take tap water. The city water happened to be there. Just whatever the water is from the facility, it will work. And then you get some white styrofoam cups. You have one of the coffee pots labeled reverse osmosis, one of them labeled tap water. You have both of them sitting there. So when people come through, you go, you know, can I answer a question for you? And they go, no, can I at least make you a cup of tea? And you're right, Corey. A lot of them will say, no, we're good. But a lot of them will go, especially when it's cold outside, a lot of them will go, yeah, sure, we'll have some tea. Now you bring them into the booth. You pour, you do exactly what Corey said there. Okay, I'm going to make you two cups of tea. And then you pour both, you explain that, you know, one is reverse osmosis, one is tap water. Now you have about 2 minutes to gather all kinds of information. You can ask them, are you familiar with reverse osmosis? Do you buy bottled water? Why are you buying bottled water? How much are you spending? You know, and what was the, you guys, when you started making that tea in the white cups right there in front of them, what kind of reactions did you get from people when you first stuck the tea bags in there?
I'd say they were just curious at first, you know, because why we're making two cups of tea.
Right, but when they
it only takes 10
change.
Seconds.
What was
yeah.
their reaction when they first saw the color change?
They were usually pretty grossed out, and they laughed about it. And they said,
they're
oh,
like,
yep, that's city water.
Yeah, that's what I'm used to drinking. I mean,
exactly.
The amazement, when they see the two of those side by side in the white styrofoam cups, you know, it's even more so than in a microwave, you know, because in a microwave, you put it in, you bring them out, they're already kind of different, right? But there, you pour the water in the two cups side by side, you stick the tea bags in at the exact same time, and they see the color change and the color difference immediately, and then you have them smell it. And I always like to joke, and I saw you guys doing this too. I'll go, okay, which one of these do you guys want? Which cup do you want? You know, and they always, of course, take the reverse osmosis. But you've got the top of the tea box there, laminated, so you can ask them, you know, which one looks like the front. Do you think Lipton knows what their tea is supposed to look like? Which one looks like the front of the tea on the box? You know, and you can let them smell it, and of course they can taste them and compare it. You've got sweetener. We had honey and some coffee syrups and sweetener and sugar there, you know, to depending on how they like it. But That gives you an opportunity to talk to them about drinking water. Now, why is that important? It's because according to statistics, day in and day out, or year in and year out, WQA statistics say that almost 8 out of 10 of the people who walk by your booth are buying bottled water, especially as, you know, as an alternative to their drinking water. Only about 1 out of 10 are buying water softeners. Now, in an area, it may be higher than that. Obviously, you know, in the area you guys are at, even the municipal water is pretty hard, and a lot of people have softeners and stuff like that. But were you surprised at how many people were buying bottled water and how many people were interested in that?
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead, Corey.
Even on, you know, I went out to someone's house yesterday who I met at the home show. And I was in their kitchen, and I noticed they had one of those zero water, filters that brings the TS down. And I said, oh, that's good that you have that. How long does that last? She's like, oh, I have to change the filter in that every 2 or 3 weeks. I said, how much is that? She said, you know, $20 or so. And then I also noticed she had other bottled water inside the kitchen. I mean, she does not drink the tap water at all. And I mean, perfect opportunity, all from the home show.
Wait a minute. So she's spending $20 to change a filter every 3 weeks on that zero water system, and it's a pitcher. You know, this is what I like to point out to people at the home show. And actually, that's pretty impressive that she's staying on top of changing the filter, because most people will go 6 months between changing filters on those. But if they're doing it right. So she's going, and if those of you that aren't familiar, zero water is actually, it's a little deionizing system. So it does come with a TDS meter. If you're ever short on a TDS meter and you need one immediately, right away for your test kit, you can go buy a zero water system, and it comes with a little TDS meter in there. Works great. And that's because the filter that's inside that zero water is it's got a little bit of anion resin and a little bit of cation resin. So it takes out both the positive and the negatively charged ions in the water, and it does give you zero TDS. You know, it has a little carbon filter in there to polish it up and everything too. So it's different. That's going to be a different type of filter than your Brita's or some, you know, your pure filters, the pour-throughs or anything like that. So, but anyway, so the, you know, the other thing about focusing on the drinking water part of everything is the fact that the other, even, I mean, you know, I think the biggest competitors at any home show are everybody that's trying to get your time, right? So, you know, you've got the guy out there that's, you know, trying to straighten your spine, or the, you know, the cooking people, or, I mean, everybody has their things, and they're all trying to get the attention and the time of those people walking through. So it's not just the, you know, there were two other water treatment companies there at this home show. This was not a huge home show. It was a pretty small one. There were two of them, two other ones there. Their focus on both of their booths, they had, one of them had, I think it was a 10 by 10 booth, and he had three or four different softeners and iron filters all set up, and the other one just had a whole wall full of stuff. And but they tend to focus on the softener part, the water that goes on you. And I've always thought that was a little backwards, given that the vast majority of the people who go to those shows, even if they are not aware of it, are spending more money and effort on the drinking water side of things, on the water that goes in you, than the water that goes on you. Would you guys agree with that? Did you catch that, or was it an equal mix? You know, like I said, your area is, you've got a lot of hard water in your city, but what did you notice that?
I definitely thought that people were more interested in the drinking water. And, you know, even just having the 5-gallon jugs there for people to get free water, I mean, that opened up a lot of opportunities as well. But I think the most striking thing for me was when the owner of one of the other water shops came over and asked what the cups were for.
What you were making tea, right?
Yes. He had no idea.
Right. Yeah. So this other water company came over, and the owner came over and was curious about what you were doing. I think that's a great compliment. I think that's a great compliment. It means that what you're doing is, you know what, we all are our competitors, and I think as long as we are out there, and you guys know me, if you've ever heard anything of what we do before, you know that I believe very strongly in the industry, and it doesn't really matter to me which manufacturer you represent as long as you do it with integrity and honesty, and you're not out there lying and cheating and the customers and hurting this industry. So competition's healthy, but I do think it's kind of a neat compliment when somebody else sees you doing something that works, and they're going, ah, why didn't we think about that? I think that's awesome. And I, you know, just seeing it for the show, I think you guys did far better probably than anybody else at that show because of the way you were approaching things. It really made you stand out amongst the other people that were there. So we have a couple minutes left, and there were a lot of people on the call. Anybody else have questions? Anybody have any questions for Joan and Corey about what they might have done different? I do want to say before we stop that, you know, if anybody on this call wants details specifically about how we recommend you set up a booth, what you put in it, reach out to me afterwards. Send me an email. I'll have a conversation with you. I'm not going to send you an invoice for any of that. You know, just reach out. Let me know if there's anything that we can do to help. But in the meantime, like I said, I've got just a couple minutes here. Does anybody have questions for Joan and Corey about anything that they did or didn't do that you're curious about what would work or not work in your booth?
It's Stacy here. I do have a question. When you guys are going out on these appointments, do you guys have stickers with your names and numbers that you're sticking on those softeners when they work so they can call you 2 years from now?
That's a good question.
I personally
have not been. No.
So I have stickers with just a small little 2x2 sticker with my name, my cell phone number on, and I just when I do the inspect and check, I just ask them, do you mind if I go ahead and stick my phone number on there? That way, if you ever have any questions, you can give me a call. Well, almost 6 years later, I get some calls off those when those softeners bite the dust.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, especially if you've already gone out there and do that. You know, here, I'm gonna put this here on the softener so that if you, you know, when it does go, you can find my number. That's a great idea. I've always had mixed feelings about plastering stickers all over the basement on every last thing. That would annoy the heck out of me if I saw that in my basement. But I like the idea of having a small, you know, a small little 4x4 sticker or something like that that you could point out to the customer that you're putting there. The other thing that Corey and Joan do or will do that we've trained them to do on that same topic, Stacy, is they will continue to follow up with the customer. So once they've adopted these customers, they put it in their CRM, and they're checking back it, you know, every few months and staying in contact with all of those customers as well. So they're not relying strictly on the customer to call them back. So they're building that relationship. It's the beginning of a long-term relationship. But, no, it's a great idea. What are the questions for Corey and John?
Yeah, this is Rick Harrison, Fort Wayne. I was curious what type of, city water that you're working with there. You know, part of a little bit of our issue, and not that we couldn't use a municipal water. We certainly have those that are higher TDS and have more issues. But unfortunately, here in Fort Wayne, you know, we have a very low grain, low TDS market. And I was just curious. I trust your water there must be a little bit higher in TDS hardness and so forth to have the T-test be so effective.
What is Coralville there? I know you guys are about 13 grains, right? There
actually we're higher.
Grains?
We're in where we are. It's about 24 grains.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
TDS is around 600.
So Rick, yes, the higher the TDS, the more impactful it is. But I can tell you we've done this on 7 grain, and Novi was – we had a really great show with one of our – Novi, Michigan a couple years ago. It's on the Detroit water system. And they're 6 to 7 grains depending on where they are on the water line and about 100 TDS. And especially in the White Styrofoam cups, it will still have the impact. So it's not as dark or – as dramatic, but definitely there's a noticeable difference. Where, what are you in Fort Wayne? What are you, what's your hardness and or TDS level?
Yeah, very similar, 6 to 8 grains,
yeah.
And we probably
yeah.
vary anywhere from, you know, 110 to maybe 150.
It'll work, especially in the white, in the white styrofoam. It will absolutely work. Try it first. You know, try it and see. Just do. I don't know if you guys are making tea in the home here, but it will definitely work, especially in the white styrofoam cups. You'll see the difference. So, like, we do that on 7-grain municipalities all the time. Good question, though. What else? What else do you guys have? You know, last couple minutes here. Well, I hope that you guys pulled some value out of this. Like I said, go to, if you want more detail on, you know, what to say, the scripting, all of that stuff in the, you know, for the home shows, please check out a lot of the webinars, the things that we've done in the past you can find it on motivitality.com, or just shoot Jen or I an email or a phone call, and I'd love to give you guys my thoughts on it or ideas. And I hope that you have a very successful home show season. Those of you that are not normally on this call, please join us every Thursday. Everybody else, be safe, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Corey and Joan. I really appreciate it a lot.
Thank you, Kelly.
Absolutely.
Thanks.